see you here today, and what a thrilling thought that you individually will affect scores of people this coming week. Checking some statistics recently, noting approximately 28 million people plus 5 million in Texas, thousands close to us. And when you realize that you watch people all the time, but we forget they watch us. We imitate a lot of things on the highway, purchase possessions, the kind of cars we purchase. We imitate a lot of things and a lot of people. Advertisers pay millions of dollars to have the chance to show their product. Ball games, settings in which thousands will be watching. But there's nothing as bright as the blood of Jesus that takes away sin. There is nothing as important to our million millenniums plus in eternity like the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And we have free access to privileged positions in the kingdom. We support the work of God financially because it offers to others that same status. It's a sobering thought to preach to never dying people. You may leave this earth, but there is no such thing as quitting living. The greatest thing any of us could possibly do is honor his request when he said, "Learn of me, because I can make you over again." I want us to pray today in just a minute. I think it was, my memory fails me right now, but I think in 2006 there were possibly 442,000 churches in the USA. It dropped down to about 330,000. And it has taken a little rise in the last few, I think, 3 or 4 years. I think 2012 was 364,000. And you would think even with only 364,000, with close to 30 million people, that the streets would be filled with hope, courage, love, forgiveness, and joy, and peace, and righteousness. Because supposedly each of us are promoting the same Christ. Supposedly every one of us are demonstrating his life on the streets of America every day. And if one man could change the history of life by his actions and his relationship to God, how incredibly the opportunity looms before us today to build a fire in our heart that this world needs what God has given me. New life, new future, new hope, fresh hope. That's what services are to be about. It's not to clock in and to clock out, and hopefully our attendance will suffice the mighty God and create power that will destroy demons and devils that are terrorizing your children in our schoolhouses, in our life in general. We are the opportunity of a lifetime for so many thousands of people. We dare not count it just another service. Let's pray. And I ask you to pray to the need. And God help me to meet that need. It's all right to raise your voices. Father, we make no bones about it. We don't need another meeting. We need another encounter with you, with your word, with your spirit. We need an encounter with ourselves at your altar today. It's not just another day. It's closer to judgment. We're not afraid of that when we're hit with you. And I ask you to give this preacher a spiritual anointing today that will encourage the most distant and challenge those who are the closest. In Jesus' name, amen. We will continue today with the basis of what God has given me for this first part of the year. And I have no problem telling you that God gave it to me. I know when I'm speaking above my intellect, and I really know when I am speaking above my understanding. The Bible tells us that knowledge is greater than anything. And to disseminate knowledge to people that are going to live forever somewhere is not a small issue to me. For many years I tried to get sermons, and I came up with some good ones. I preached churches all across America and overseas, but I have never enjoyed a passion, the fire that goes with the Pentecostal experience, like I have enjoyed it the last few years. The privilege of loving you, loving Paris, Texas, loving Lamar County, has put me into a whole new dimension of life. Hardly sleep, because the writer said it for me, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Not here to fill time and space and to make money. I am here to transform a world which he died to give us that kind of favor, that we would have all power in heaven and in earth. When I see people limping along, fatigued and lonely, I'm reminded of the thousands of angels that are gathered around you, trying to speak his voice into your soul. We have such a tremendous skill. I played Elvis Presley's song a few months ago, and a third of the church recognized his voice. And I ask you today, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God? Do we truly recognize His voice in the morning, during the trial? God knows some of us are going through difficulties we never thought we would encounter. And I gladly walk with you during those. But I'm not without courage. And I'm not without faith. And I'm not without strength. He is everything to all who will trust Him. And it's time we put our trust completely in the blood, the Word, the name, and the Holy Ghost, and lean not to our own understanding. Those are not in my notes. That's just my heart. Move quickly into our notes. We'll go back through a little bit of the what we are talking about. Most of you have seen this, so I erased the PowerPoint part. So we will just slide through this, but I want to read the scripture here. It covers, this is not the length of this reading doesn't even begin to identify with the amount of life he had to live to share this minimal amount of truth. The elasticity of this simple page stretches across years of hurt, disappointment, highs, lows, glories, weaknesses. So this is years, and he accumulates those years and says, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And I want to encapsulate those three or four verses there by telling you that what you're seeing there is the scripture in a more focused fashion that said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. If you look at that carefully, we are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. You sense that realization as he identifies the casualties of life that he experienced. At the same time, he realized the weakness of flesh and the dastardly works of hell. He realized, I'm born again. I am in Christ a new creature. He glorifies his name through me having victory, and that victory outshines my problems. You see that in all of that? I'm trying to help expound it a little bit, but that's what Paul is doing. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. Bearing about in the body the troubles of life, the distresses of life, the perplexities of life, but always knowing that when I am going through fleshy problems and difficulties in the emotional world, that the light of His glory is shining through my voice when I say, I'm going to tell you, I'm coming through this. And the light of His courage is shining to our children when we say, this is no match for the blood, the word, the name, and the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I don't care how few churches there is, we are canopied by the glory of His resurrection. And anybody that has the Holy Ghost has a hope inside of them that triumphantly marches into each day knowing, in Him I am glorified, and in Him I glorify Him again, because He's glorified Himself in me. These are huge events. They sound like words again to the person that's just carnally looking at it. But when you look at it through the eyes of the resurrection and the coming of the Christ, it is phenomenal. So death worketh in us. But turn to your neighbor and said, but life in you. That's phenomenal stuff. All right, let's move forward. Maybe I'm pushing. Am I pushing the wrong button here? There it is. We're not going to cover that again. If you don't catch that, ask your neighbor. They were here last Sunday. Glorifying God begins with your understanding our value. And I do want to identify this because it is so dynamic. It's just so quick you can read it, but the depth of it is almost immeasurable. Fowls of air, they sow not, neither do they reap, and gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are you not much better than they? Tell you in darkness and speak in the light what ye hear in the ear, that preach upon the preach ye upon the rooftops, and fear not them which can kill the body, but are able to kill the soul. Your neighbor can't kill your soul. They may shoot you and kill your body, but I want to tell you, unbelief is what kills the soul. A lack of faith will kill the soul. And it's out of the soul that comes that energy that is so necessary to become one with the Word and one with His victory and one. And so that spirit in your soul that just never gives up. You may only be able to look that direction toward heaven. There may be prisons that you go through emotionally and physically, privations to your body, privations to other things, but inside you're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the one who went through everything that you could ever even imagine going through, and He conquered death, hell, and the grave, so you could have a hope inside your mortal body that says, I don't care whether He slay me, Job said, I know I will trust in Him because He's God and I'm just a fatigued human. But that great God at the great getting up morning is going to take the lid off of the graveyard, and those who are in Christ Jesus are going to rise into the glories that we've only dreamed about. You'll never have all the glories you've dreamed about on this earth, but I tell you, they belong to you in the heavens. I'm looking forward to that great getting up day. Now, I'm not rushing getting through here. Cannot buy a resurrection body. I think I've got it. A couple of things about my uncle later on in the program here, but my wife and I were at her uncle's funeral yesterday, and what an elite crowd of people and dignitaries from all across places. I just was phenomenal and saw all of that, and then what a day. And you can buy a nice funeral, but you can't buy a resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. And if we're not following Him, we're just playing games with His blood. If we're not dogging His footsteps every day, listening for His voice, replaying His verbs and adjectives in our life when we're in critical issues, Every issue has a word of God for it. Every problem has a foundation of victory for it. There's not anything you're going to go through that he can't help you get through with style. We've all enjoyed some good days. But I encourage you, that second statement, get ready. Your redemption draweth nigh. We're saved by hope. For the believer, visibility will increase along with the promises of God being forthcoming. A satisfaction in the middle of the crisis will become the ruler of our emotions. All those things, I promise you, I'm not capable of thinking those up. Those came in deep prayers, intercessions with God. And all because you have afforded me the privilege of loving you. I'm not unaware of that. Because you are part of my life, he allows the tributaries of his love and wisdom to flow through me. And it's about one of the most humbling things I've ever had happen to me. Our world's view of needs now and why. And I ask you, don't say it, because we're fixing to uncover it. But I ask you, what has been the pressing need in your life? I ask you to think about what has driven you to the chamber of prayer over and again. The pressing need. The world at least identifies what they think, and they publicize what they think our needs are. And it's almost a shame to even put it up here today. But I'm going to put up what we pay taxes and big allegiance to in the economy of America. And here are the needs as they are listed by the world. 19% of the U.S. say that will vote, that we have poor leadership, so we need greater leadership. Now that covers the whole shooting match. That's not just the present president. That's the leadership of America. Healthcare being the second need. 16% say that's the real need. Economy in general, 8%. Immigration and illegal aliens, 7%. Say that's the big need in America. Unifying the country, that one shocked me beyond words. Only 7% say we need unity. That was unthinkable to me, to think with all the murders and the hate crimes and all that's going on, that only 7% would qualify the idea, you're my brother, great to see you, and you're my sister, and how I treat you is going to be part of my reward in daily living. And 7% of your world says that that's the big need. That's 7 out of 100. Unemployment, 6%. Race and relationships and racism, 4%. Terrorism, 4%. Ethics, moral, religious, family decline, 4%. Crime and violence, 3%. Environment and pollution, 3%. National security, 3%. International issues and problems, 3%. And we can't put enough locks on our doors. And we can't put enough wealth in the bank to cover the illnesses and the sicknesses in America. We can't seemingly buy enough insurance to cover the family when we leave. We are surrounded by problems that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to answer. And churches are signing up people to go to heaven but they're not correcting the course of life. And the trajectory is going to all end in the same place. If we don't readjust our vision to that nail-scarred image of a Christ that willingly came and suffered so your Cohen can have a hope beyond this world, and in the middle of this world have a strength that can stand against the threatening issues of an immoral economy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not time just to go to the house of God. It's time to do what he said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you will be filled with an energy level and a glory cloud that will guide you as surely as he guided the children of Israel through the wilderness and through the Red Sea. I'm telling you, those are not fictitious stories. They're talking about a love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You didn't just get into Pentecostalism. You got the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the very Spirit of the God that did every bit of that. I will not play games with you. Your soul is important. And the need of this hour is that you have hope for healing. Aren't we glad to see Sister Nicole surviving that attack of cancer? It's one of the greatest thrills in my life. Almost a year later, wasn't it a thrill to see Stephen up there today, who's out, survived cancer? I'm telling you, the devil don't want you living for God. He don't want you following the footsteps of the King. He wants to threaten everything about you. But thank God he's raising up ministry in the middle of religion that is going to captivate the mind and the heart and the soul of men and women. And they're going to find Calvary every morning fresh and new. And they're going to be revived in the Holy Spirit. Not just put in a few minutes to appease their mind, but touching the hem of his garment, find virtue. We know that a small light, a small light. Brother Rick, would you turn out, don't turn this off, but turn out the lights. I can't see much out there, but y'all can see me way up here. And that's the whole concept of that little thing. You have no idea how bright your light is. Thank you. You can turn the lights back on. We think we've got to see and know everything to be much importance in this world. I'm going to tell you the life that I now live, Paul said. I now live in the faith. The life that I have now is a light to those who sit in darkness. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Mike Usry, stand up, would you? Whenever you've ever noticed him. Look at him, Mike. I mean, have you ever thought he's a pretty decent guy? But you look at him, Mike. Listen to me, Mike. This is your brothers and sisters. But I'm telling you, you have no clue what some of those people that knew you when you was a teenager are already thinking about you. Because you're a small light. That's true. You feel insignificant. That's true. But I'm going to tell you, they're looking at you and saying, he probably won't last. But you've made up your mind. If I've got this thing right, have you got your mind made up to what? To live for God. That's exactly it. And I'm telling you, that's a huge light out there where the cussers and the liars and the cheaters and the whoremongers and the adulterers live. They see a man that's come out of darkness and he shouts across this place, and we just call him a Pentecostal addict. No. He is making sure I'm in touch with that which touched me. I am included in that which included me. I'm in the number. I'm in the name. I'm in the glory. I'm in the victory. And every day you live, there's people watching for you. And you may make mistakes, but that don't put you out of the kingdom. Don't you get down on yourself because you have not been perfect. There's coming the day when all of us is going to come to that one moment when the last trumpet sounds. See, the trumpet sounding today, that's the voice of the ministry. That's the trump of God for right now. But there's coming a day when that inner voice is going to call you. It's just one of those voices that you may be going through a busy day and all of a sudden you feel like you just got to pray. And you just turn around for a minute and say, Jesus, I hear you. Lead me. Let my thoughts suddenly be your thoughts. And let your mind be in me. And help me with this encounter. Because I'm telling you, every encounter you go through, God is making an opportunity for you to be a light in a strong and certain place. A mixed up world. And this is where we got last week. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. There's not anybody here that doesn't want to live for God. But sometimes we just need that extra push or pull. That church service where we look across the way and we see that crowd of people back there. Sister Weems, would you tell your whole row to stand? Now, I didn't say this to start with. I'm saying it now. But when I walked back there a while ago to shake hands, all of y'all stand up, would you? Sister Bonnie confessed for them. This is the old folks. How many of you think they're important? How many of them mean something to you? Young, be seated. I've seen them elbow their way through to paying tithes into this church. Personally get the opportunity to know. It's not always easy. You think I'm going to play games with their soul? Stand before Him someday? No, I don't think so. I'm going to preach to their kids what that preached them into this world. And that's the world of God Almighty. I'm telling you, this kingdom is not something to be treated lightly. This kingdom business is not something to treat loosely. If you've been called into the kingdom of God, it ought to be a salutation every morning when you stand up and report for duty, when you get clothed and you say, God, I'm dressing for you and I'm wanting this world to know that I have been called out of that world into this world. And I am so godly thankful. I can't hardly stand myself knowing that I'm redeemed in this corrupt flesh, and that which is incorruptible has now gained my attention, and I gladly salute you with everything I say and with everything I do and where I go and where I don't go and how I treat my neighbor. It ought to be the arresting factor of every morning when we get up to know in me, in my flesh, nothing good. So I'm not going to flaunt my flesh in any way. I'm not going to try to draw attention to my flesh in any way. I want them, when they're around me, to sense a spirit of Him who crawled out of that grave and jumped up into the sky and said, I am alive forevermore, and I'm going to send a comforter to you. I'm going to put the Holy Spirit right inside your bosom, and it's going to lead you every day, and it's going to guide you through everything, and you're going to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and none of these things are going to consume you because you're my namesake. And the honor I get for you being my namesake is I'm going to put power in your mind, and I'm going to put power in your hands, and I'm going to put power in your feet, and I'm going to put power in your life, and the devils are going to be scared to death for you to get out of bed again tomorrow, because greater is He that is in you and He that in the world. He's the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father, and He's about to come back and get a partner for eternity. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not do, I do. If I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelling in me. When I cannot control my voice, when I cannot control my actions, when I cannot control my behavior in front of my kids, it's no longer. It's sin that separates us from that perfect love. Sin that separates us from all truth. Truth that sets men free. I'm talking to somebody today. You came here hungry for new life, a fresh touch, a fresh glory, a realization. And God said, I'm not going to let you have, I'm going to make sure you got bread on the table. If whether you eat it or not, that's your privilege. But there's going to be bread on the table that'll get you out of anything. There's an energy level in this house right now that if we grab hold of it, I'm telling you, this world is going to stand shocked and amazed at the power that God has still got loose in this world. I'm telling you, don't you count yourself out, and don't you say, well, I've never been there before. I'm here to tell you, God is here today to take you there. He is here there. He's here to lead you there. He is here there to sustain you. I'm here to preach to somebody that you haven't seen anything yet. This world looking for that which all they represent is needs. I'm telling you, in the middle of that, the Antichrist is coming, but don't you get worried about the Antichrist, because Christ is greater than the Antichrist. And you don't have anything to worry about if you're hid with Christ in God. All this fear about the Antichrist coming, I'll tell you what I'm scared of, that I'll make mistakes in front of those kids over there that'll leave them scarred and doubting whether this Christian thing works. I'll tell you what I'm scared about is misbehaving so much in front of my wife that she will doubt whether or not I'm even a decent preacher. I'm here to tell you, it's a big deal when we say I am in Christ, a new creature. I'm talking about all things new. I'm talking about fresh mercy every morning on your breakfast table in the middle of your break in the morning. I'm talking about fresh energy that will absolutely stupefy hell. I'm talking about glory that is not cannot be bought anywhere. It just comes. It's a river. If I find that a law that when I would do good, evil tries to restrict me. Those little temptations. You mind if I use you? It's great to have him here. Would you stand? This guy's such an honest guy, and he's bold enough to. But is there any times, Eric, that you felt like maybe this wouldn't work out? Maybe there was a thought in your mind that you couldn't live it?
Yes.
I want to tell you, I've been living this a lot longer than you. That thought comes to my mind. Some of you older people need to tell those younger, it's not a new day for them. You have been tempted in all points, such as we, the Bible said. Jesus said that. If Jesus was tempted in all points, such as you, you ought never be so ashamed that you quit. You ought never to be so ashamed that you back up and say, look, I just don't know if I can live this life. Because I'm telling you, the reason he suffered everything is so he could make a way where there seemed to be no way. He come in and he said, I want you to tell you something. You don't follow your flesh. Don't you follow your own thinking. You follow those tracks in the sand. You follow that Messiah that walked through and he was tempted. And you find a word that in the middle of what he went through. And I tried on the Wednesday night crowd to emphasize this. But on the cross, I want you to get a picture that just covers a ton of stuff. On the cross, he was totally forsaken as far as he was concerned. But watch his statements in the middle of the biggest crisis. He called it the biggest crisis. He looked up
and talked to God and said, "Why have you forsaken me?" But when he looked out at the people that were doing the work, he said, "Forgive them." How do you handle any crisis? Look up and tell God your real heart. Just want to make sure you're here. Find His presence. And when you find His presence, you can take care of the other situation with calmness and security. Forgive her, God. She didn't know she was about to kill me. Forgive him, God. He didn't know how bad he was going to hurt me. Forgiving husbands and wives is the critical issue for marriage. You don't need a bunch of counselors. He is the counselor. You'll never run a home off a brain alone. It's got to be out of the heart. It's got to come from the soul. You can just keep loving and keep loving. And when you're hurting, you can just keep loving and you can keep caring and you can leave the real work up to God. Because all of a sudden that love, that Spirit of God reaches beyond where you can reach. It goes to the darkest corner of every other human. It goes to the darkest area of their life when you just keep loving them. You just keep on loving them. And that's what he did for Robert L. Meyer. He just kept loving me when I was cussing and lying and cheating, when I was rebellious and horrifying. He just kept loving me. Father, forgive him. Someday he's going to preach your word. Someday he's going to stand in the middle of thousands of people and be a light to a whole city. Someday he's coming out. And I'm here to tell you, some of you are just about to rise to a new level of life because His glory is covering the earth right now, and it's miserable out yonder, but great peace have they who love the Lord. And I'm telling you, the peace of God that passes understanding is about to canopy every church, every home in this city. We're not going to sit here and just sit here and go through a routine. We're going into the night. Into the night. We're going to discourage people and pat them on the back. And you may not be discouraged, but he's going to pat a bunch of you on the back right now. Hey, I'm telling you, brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. That's big. Go find somebody and hug their neck. Just make sure it's not a young lady. I wish you'd do it for somebody close to you. I'm telling you, this is a whole session that we are going to glorify him. Somebody hug this lady. We're so glad she's here. There's a wave of his glory. To you, it may just be something simple. But I'm telling you, somebody needs a hug today. Somebody needs to hear a neighbor, a brother say, "I'm telling you, you're going to make it." You say, "That sounds too simple." Not to them it don't. When you're hungry, a morsel of bread is a beautiful meal. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's praise the Lord. So all right, go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost for a couple of minutes. I'm telling you, he's fixing to shock this Lamar County area. We're not going to stay in a salt shaker forever. He said the salt is going to be salted out on the earth. Kids are going to come home you never dreamed would come home, because they're going to see the light from a dark area of their world. They're going to see the glory in the middle of their night. And they're going to say, let me tell you something. If mom and dad could climb over these walls, I can get over them. If this city has a church in it that can find victory in every situation, then I can find victory. Faith is about to take a new leap in this city. Faith is about to take a new dimension in our country. Faith is going to come to front and center because the church is going to get tired of sitting in the weak places, and they're going to rise and walk out in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of God, and take dominion and authority over lies and cheap hypocrisy in Christianity. There's a glory cloud. He said it. That's the reason I try to get you to read Zechariah 14 over and over and over and get a hold of it. Let it fall in your mind, because I promise you not one word is going to fall unmeasured on the world, in the world, around the world. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. We all feel that. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin. And I'm going to quote it here. I think I got it over there, but I may not get there today. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You can have all kind of cultural religion. You can have all kind of systematic, virtuous looking values, but he makes it very clear. Faith is what ties you to that nail scarred hand. Knowledge is what leads you. Turn around and follow me. Knowledge is what leads you into the dimensions of deity. And you can't move in to more deity without crucifying the flesh every day, because flesh is corruptible, but the spirit is incorruptible. And the dimensions that you force your flesh into, the more uncomfortable you're going to feel among people that live after the flesh. That is a very normal feeling, that this world receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. But that can just sound like so much religious fodder until you begin to live after the Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that godly Spirit, that in the midst of the greatest incarceration or trouble produces brotherly love. Forgive them. Father, I feel helpless, but help me to love the pastor's wife. Go over and shake her hands like she's somebody special. You don't know the hell I put her through. Trying to be a man of God, it's not easy for a wife, because she sees the weaknesses far more than any of you. It's far harder for her and my kids to get past all of the pitifulness of my life into the powerfulness of my world. She needs to be encouraged by you wonderful saints. He's not as bad as you think, Sister Meyer. He's blessed one of my kids one time years ago, but he did it. And I got faith if he did it once, maybe he'll come back around front and center and do it again. I'm very aware that I stand in front of you as a model. You can be seated a minute. I understand I am not perfect. That's why it's so crazy that God gives an imperfect man a message that can lead not only him but them into that wonderful sphere of Christendom. I wish I was perfect. But if I ever get perfect, there's a place waiting on me. You won't see me for a while. So he said, as long as you're in this flesh, don't ever say you don't sin. I come short. I'm not there yet. But I hope you can see me fighting the fight of faith and preaching a gospel that may help me and it may help your kids. And so we can all praise God together for the hope that lieth within us, because the book said we're saved by hope. But you don't isolate hope and say, well, we're starting a new church called the Hopers. Every time they find a scripture that uses the word saved, they start a new church. And they forget the scripture that said, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, will I discover with you and for you the rest of the adventure. But I'll lead you and guide you into all truth as necessary. But hope is one of the most encouraging things that could ever happen to somebody sitting in this house today. I don't care what hell you have been in, and I don't care how much you have missed it. Is it 23 after or 33 after? Got four more minutes. I'm looking for the day when we get rid of the clock and we head for the need of our life, and whatever we need, God's going to give it to us. But I am very aware we can't all sustain much of this. But I want to encourage you that hope, there's the man that led the New Testament church. Oh, wretched man that I am. Did you get to thinking, Tanner, that you're a pitiful husband just because you forget roses on Valentine's Day? But I will encourage you. It's a good idea to go ahead and get them. But it don't make you a bad husband. What makes you a bad husband? If you don't live to protect her and bless her. No faith in yourself. No faith in your God. You get up every morning and salute the product God made. He made you in His image, sir. The fact that you stumble occasionally and the fact that you fall short a little bit, and she'll help remind you, and that'll help between her and me. We're going to get you there. Same goes for you, Mrs. Don't you love being a part of the body? I wish you'd reach out and touch somebody. We're in this whole thing together. Don't you ever get to thinking you're better than everybody else because you've got a few things under your belt. You got a little more victory mark somewhere in your life. Let me tell you something. There's all of us need each other. If you're so great, you identify with Jesus in every way. Just remember this. He needed us to make the rest of Himself great. That ought to help anybody. I said He needed you. Let's stand. The musicians are coming. This altar's open. The baptistry waters are getting warm. I don't know if somebody will find this Super Bowl Sunday for yourself or not, but if you have the faith to get baptized in Jesus' name today, morning, afternoon, tonight, let me tell you something. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, let your faith reach out and understand that we are baptized into the body of Christ by faith. In the name, the blood begins to get activated in purifying and being able to glorify Him, and being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a huge issue. Don't let anybody tell you because they felt God that that's a ironclad deal. The Bible said when you get the Holy Ghost, it'll lead and guide you. It's not the same as feeling His presence. I promise you, when I was a downright sinner, could have used a little bit more verbiage right there, but I was a down, D-O-W-N. Don't get that mixed up. I was a downright sinner, and I felt His presence. I can't tell you, sitting back over on the left side of our church, how many times I felt His presence and pushed Him away. Fortunately, I didn't push Him off so much I got calloused. If you've ever heard the message God gave me on the worst mistake you could ever make, Gene Shockley, who's sitting next to me, Never forget the time I was at the altar weeping and crying, and I went back and our friendship brought him to the altar. But after praying for about 10 minutes, he looked at me and he said, "Bob, I can't feel it. I can't feel him." You go back and read Samuel's writing about King David. It was actually Saul who begged David to take him back a few years in life. And David prayed about it, and God told him, said, "Look, he's already rejected me one time too many. The worst mistake you could make is reject him one time too many. Your sins are not a problem for him. Rejection is the issue. Because once you callous yourself to disobedience, you never feel the need to obey again. So the slightest ripple in your mind, praise the name of the Lord. I don't care where you are, what you have to do. You don't have to wake up all the people on your job. Just whisper it. Thank you, Jesus, just for showing up where I am." You don't want to make that worst mistake of rejecting him one time too many. And so the apostle, the prophet said to him, Samuel told him, said, "Let me tell you something." I called him David a while ago, but it was Samuel. Samuel told him, said, "Let me tell you something. Won't ever do any good anymore. You did go past the point of no return." So if you feel him, that's a realization he's still dealing with you. It's when you can sit in the Holy Ghost service and never feel anything that you want to work and fast and pray until you break every doubt that has caused your insensitivity. Sing it, singers. This altar's open. Those that want to renew their spirit, those that perhaps want to repent of their sins, those that just want to let him know, "I'm thankful." You may just want to pay homage to him today in these next few minutes and say, "God, I don't have any particular need today, but I just want to magnify your name.